This is DW News live from Berlin. Colombia's most wanted drug lord faces extradition to the US. The army seized gang leader Otoniel in a dramatic swoop near the border with Panama. Washington had put up a $5 million reward. Also coming up, desperate migrants break through police lines in Mexico in a push to reach the US. They say they're willing to risk everything for a chance of a better life. And in the Bundesliga, Cologne come from 2 goals down to claim a share of the points in a well-matched Rhineland derby. I'm Ulal Alsaka. A very warm welcome to the programme. Colombia's most wanted drug lord is facing extradition to the United States after being run to ground in a dramatic swoop. The cartel boss, known as Otoniel, was captured at his jungle hideout in an operation by Colombian forces using British and US intelligence. Washington had put up a reward of $5 million for help in locating the gangster. He's accused of drug trafficking, murder and kidnapping.
Colombia's most wanted, caught in his jungle hideout. Dairo Antonio Ushuga, known as Otoniel, eluded authorities for years.
Alias Otoniel.
Otoniel was the most feared narco-trafficking leader in all the world.
Asesino de policías.
A murderer of police officers, soldiers, social leaders, a recruiter of children. This is only paralleled by the fall of Pablo Escobar in the 1990s. The operation to capture Otoniel involved more than 500 soldiers and special forces. The narco-trafficker is accused of spending decades building the so-called Gulf Clan cartel, controlling much of the smuggling of cocaine through northern Colombia. Over those years, he allied himself with rebel groups, both right and left wing, to ensure his survival in the jungle. He allegedly oversaw an army of assassins who kept northern Colombia in fear as they fought for control of lucrative smuggling routes. Capturing Otoniel is a victory for the state and the rule of law against the biggest threat in Colombia, drug trafficking. That may be, but Otoniel's arrest comes amid a surge in the production of coca, the raw material used to make cocaine, to new levels, despite decades of efforts to eradicate the drug trade.
Let's talk to Sergio Guzman in Colombia's capital, Bogotá. He's the director of Colombia Risk Analysis, a political risk consultancy firm. Mr. Guzman, welcome to the program. Otoniel was the boss of a violent drug cartel. What does his capture mean for Colombia?
Thank you. Good evening to you. His capture means very big deal for the Colombian authorities, who have been able to infiltrate his network and have been able to bring him down. Unfortunately, it doesn't mean much for the structure or the strategy of the war against drugs.
Why has it taken so long to catch Otoniel?
The Clan del Golfo had adequately infiltrated the police authorities throughout the northern coast of Colombia. They had also acquired territorial control over large parts of Chocó, north of Antioquia, and the departments of Sucre and Córdoba. And so it had been very difficult for authorities to pin down the man, but also to find the architecture of financing that backs him up.
Cocoa cultivation has been soaring for decades in Colombia. What does the arrest mean for the cocaine production?
None at all. The issue at large is that the demand for cocaine continues to be very, very high, and coca production continues to come at record paces. Coca hectares yield more cocaine than they used to 10 to 20 years ago. And as long as there's demand, there will be supply. So perhaps capturing Otoniel will provide other underlings more opportunities for promotion and other cartels options and chances to gain greater ground in different places of the country.
Will the arrest affect the overall drug trafficking of drugs from Colombia to places like the United States, do you think?
No, absolutely not. It may occasionally cause a small dent in production until the supply routes change hands again, until the cartels find avenues around the boss. And they're already talking about a successor called Chiquito Malo that will be Otoniel's next in line.
All right, Sergio Guzman, Director of Colombia Risk Analysis, many thanks for being with us.
Have a good evening. Thank you.
Several thousand migrants, including families with young children, have pushed through police lines in southern Mexico. Most come from Haiti, South and Central America, and are heading for the United States. Record numbers of migrants are trying to gain entry to the US through Mexico.
Thousands of refugees and migrants trekking by foot out of southern Mexico. This is one of many caravans where people join together with hopes of getting to the United States. Most of them from Haiti, Honduras and El Salvador have been waiting here for asylum papers to be processed. But now they say they've lost patience.
Many Nicaraguans have been detained here for 6, 7 or 8 months. We've been locked up here for a long time. We can't take it anymore. We don't have work here. We can't live. In our country, it's much worse. So we need to get out of here to feed our families, our children, who are the future of tomorrow.
Men, women and children walked from the city of Tapachula near the Guatemala border towards Mexico's capital. But some were confronted by police trying to push them back. Mexican authorities say anyone trying to leave the city could be penalized.
What happens is that the migrants have been badly informed. They deceive them. Yes, right now no judge has given a resolution for them to pass through freely. We're going to invite them to stay.
Others prayed overnight before making the journey toward the U.S. We can't take it anymore. This is like a bomb, like an explosive bomb. We've already exploded. We want to get out of here. We can't take it anymore. Many are fleeing political crisis, economic turmoil and natural disasters in their home countries. But the Biden administration is looking at measures to stop illegal entries. This year, U.S. authorities have reportedly already detained 1.7 million migrants trying to cross its border. Just last month, thousands of mainly Haitians arrived at Del Rio, Texas. According to rights groups, the U.S. government expelled nearly 8,000 of them. But for many of these people making the harrowing journey, it's a risk they're willing to take in search of a better life.
Let's take a look now at some other stories making news around the world. Pope Francis has made an impassioned plea to authorities to stop returning migrants rescued at sea to Libya and other countries. The pontiff said they suffer inhumane violence. He likened detention centres in Libya to concentration camps. Israel is to build more than 1,300 new homes for Jewish settlers in the occupied West Bank. Another 2,000 dwellings were given the go-ahead earlier this year. Nearly 500,000 Israeli Jews live in settlements in the West Bank. They are illegal under international law. Global health leaders have gathered in Berlin for a summit aimed at speeding up the world's response to the pandemic. Top of the agenda is a drive to ensure poorer countries have equal access to vaccines. The take-up and availability of vaccines is especially low in most of Africa. German police have stopped dozens of far-right vigilantes who converged on the Polish border to block migrants from getting into Germany. Berlin wants the European Union to stop Belarus directing migrants from its territory into Poland. Hundreds of German police have been sent in to deal with extremists mounting border patrols, many armed with clubs and pepper spray.
German police have increased the number of spot checks near the Polish border. And they're constantly finding people without proper immigration papers, like this couple from Iraq, who don't want their faces shown. On Saturday night, a German neo-Nazi group attempted to patrol the German-Polish border. The police sent them home. Germany's interior minister has deployed an additional 800 police to the border, and he's demanding a joint European Union solution to the issue. If the European Union doesn't succeed in agreeing on a common European pact on migration, then we'll take steps on a national level. And that could mean an end to free movement at the Polish border. Fellow Conservative and the Premier of the border state of Saxony criticised the European Commission for not supporting Poland. Of course, we have to provide financial help. Only Poland can control its border with Belarus. They know the area, and we can see that they're taking that seriously. This must be done with dignity. And I want to say it clearly, people inside the European Union will be treated with dignity. There are calls to offer non-European Union countries incentives to shelter refugees. An agreement with these countries, similar to the 2016 deal with Turkey, which would see people removed from the European Union in order to remove the incentive for these people to make the dangerous journey in the first place. And that, he says, is the only way to prevent Belarus from weaponizing migration.
Sports now, and in the Bundesliga, bragging rights were up for grabs as Cologne hosted local rivals Leverkusen. The visitors were looking to recover from last week's thrashing at the hands of Bayern, but they came up against a Cologne team that refused to give up.
It was derby number 67 between Cologne and neighbours Bayer Leverkusen, who won the last meeting 3-0. And after a big defeat against Hoffenheim last week, Cologne had another reason to grab the points at home. But it was Leverkusen who took the lead on 15 minutes through Patrick Schick, thanks to Diaby's pass. Just 2 minutes later, Karim Belarbi added the second one for Leverkusen, making the way back for Cologne even harder. Ryan Derby is always heated, and Cologne are not easy opponents. Jonas Hector's pass to Anthony Modest was on point, and the Frenchman cut Leverkusen's lead on 63 minutes. Modest wasn't finished there. His header 20 minutes later gave the hosts a draw, and him his 50th goal with Cologne. Friendly finish to this derby and a golden point for the Billy Goats. Not so for Leverkusen, who lost ground on their Champions League rivals.
High-flying Union Berlin were looking to move into the Champions League places with a win in Stuttgart, but they were stunned by a late equaliser from the hosts. Taiwo Awoniyi put the Berliners in front after 31 minutes, and it looked like they would win after Stuttgart had a man sent off. But a deflected shot from Wahid Fagir 3 minutes into injury time left Union disappointed, while the Stuttgart fans celebrated an unlikely point. Wolfsburg have sacked coach Mark van Bommel after a 2-0 home defeat to Freiburg. The Dutchman started the season well, with the Wolves winning their first four league games. But the Freiburg loss was the fifth in a row in all competitions and the final straw for club bosses. Van Bommel says he's surprised and disappointed. Now let's take a look at how that leaves the Bundesliga table with 9 matches played. 1 point separates Bayern and Dortmund at the top, and what a start to the season for Freiburg, who sits unbeaten in third place. In the lower half, Bochum's win sees them leapfrog Frankfurt, while things are looking increasingly bleak for Fürth, who are still without a win. You're watching DW News. Coming up, a courageous woman journalist still broadcasting in Afghanistan in defiance of the Taliban. That's in World Stories after a short break. I'm Ulal Saka in Berlin. From me and the entire team, thanks for watching. Take care. Bye-bye.